The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 2 degrees and sunny at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Agat Sandar.
And I'm Soraya Yelramanathan.
And here are today's headlines. The ongoing Canada Post strike is affecting deliveries of all kinds. Montreal city councillors reject a state of emergency for homelessness. The West Island cinema Guzzo is closing down following financial troubles.
The federal government still hasn't given an official response to U.S. President-elect Donald Trump's threat of new tariffs. Trump announced he plans to put a 25% tariff on all products imported from Canada and Mexico. He announced on social media the tariff is part of a crackdown on illegal immigration and drugs. This caused widespread panic among American and Canadian politicians. Most goods can move through the three countries tax-free due to the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement. The new tax on imports would slow trade between the countries, with sectors like oil and gas set to be the most affected. Experts say this will cause the Canadian dollar to crash in value, cause supply chain issues, and many will lose their jobs. Trump put similar tariffs on Canadian goods during his first term as president. Canada retaliated by taxing certain U.S. imports, causing a year-long trade war.
Canadians planning to travel this holiday season are living in uncertainty. The Canada Post strike has severely delayed passport shipments. Félix-Antoine Beauchemin has more.
Many Canadians will be traveling abroad over the holidays. However, Canada Post strike will complicate things for many of them. Last week, CTV News reported that Service Canada is holding back 85,000 new passports due to the Canada Post strike. People can get their passports within 10 working days of their departure date at a Service Canada location that offers pickup. Nick Pantemis is the owner of West Island Travel. He says Service Canada will provide people with a new passport if they have proof that they're traveling abroad.
Measures out already that you have to, if there's an emergency, you need a proof of travel and they'll get you your passport. They'll redo your passport. The government has already put programs in place. If you don't need your passport, you have to wait with the strike to end.
And should Canadians be confident about getting their passports before leaving the country for the holidays?
Yes. Very confident. They're very helpful. They're very helpful.
Employment and Social Development Canada, which manages Service Canada, did not answer our questions regarding the strike. Félix-Antoine Beauchemin, CJCN, Montreal.
With Black Friday around the corner, the ongoing Canada Post strike is creating major disruption for small businesses. It's also raising questions about when the government will step in. Dimitra Kritsidimis reports.
It's been 12 days now, and Canada Post says it has already missed out on delivering about 10 million parcels. The union representing workers is asking for improved wages, while Canada Post wants them to deliver mail 7 days a week. Bruce Winder is a retail analyst. He says small businesses are feeling the effects. They rely on the courier because it is the cheapest.
So what's happened now without Canada Post, these small companies are looking at other couriers. But the problem, these other couriers are 2 to 3 times more expensive.
This forces small businesses to either absorb the loss or pass the cost on to consumers, who might then not want to buy the product at all. Winder says bigger online companies like Amazon, Temu, and Walmart are not as reliant on Canada Post and have the means to work around the strike. Meanwhile, there are questions about whether the federal government plans to intervene.
Like, so far, the government hasn't really been willing to do that. But, you know, every day this goes on, there's going to be significant pressure from the small business lobby.
Dimitra Kritsidimas, CJCN, Montreal.
There's been plenty of reaction on social media after the Prime Minister announced a temporary tax cut ahead of the holidays. He says the two-month relief is meant to make some holiday purchases and groceries more affordable. On social media, some say this will save them nothing and they will not benefit from this cut. Others say desperate times call for desperate measures, and Trudeau is desperate to win next year's elections. Canadians who worked in 2023 and earned up to $150,000 will also be eligible for a $250 check next year. The tax cut on some products and services will start on December 14th and end on February 15th. The full list of eligible products can be found on the Government of Canada website. Notorious killer Paul Bernardo has been denied parole again. Bernardo is serving a life sentence for the kidnapping, sexual assault, and murder of two Ontario teenagers in the early 1990s. He was also convicted of manslaughter in the death of his ex-wife's 15-year-old sister in 1990. The victims' families were present for the hearing yesterday in Quebec. They pleaded against granting the parole or full parole to Bernardo. This is the third time that Bernardo has been denied parole. Families were relieved by the board's decision to deny his request. The board said they would release more details about the decision within 15 days.
A well-known West Island movie theater has just announced it's closing permanently due to financial troubles. Casey Kiss has more.
Vincenzo Guzzo says Cinema de Source will be closing in the next 2 weeks. It's been a difficult year for the entrepreneur and Dragon's Den television star. He was charged with criminal harassment last year, although the charges were dropped last December. Now, CIBC is seeking liquidation of the company, which it says owes $38 million. The theater is a staple in the Dollard-des-Ormeaux area, and some residents are feeling conflicted over the announcement. One commenter on a Facebook community group saying, "Not happy with this news, I always preferred Guzzo," while others commenting, "Finally." Alexa Brett is a former manager of Cinema de Source.
When I first found out, it was like this like happiness and like anger of like, yeah, you're getting what you deserve and like whatever. But then at the same time, like closing one theater, especially Des Sources, isn't going to change anything in Vince's life.
Guzzo said the lease for Cinema Des Sources was set to expire and the decision to close the theater was made before CIBC launched proceedings against him. There are 9 other Cinema Guzzo theaters. So far, there haven't been any announcements about them. There has also been no word on what will replace the landmark theater as Cinema Des Sources heads into its final days. Casey Kiss, CJCN, Montreal.
The city announced earlier this week that it will be selling the iconic Empress Theatre in NDG. The theatre opened in 1927 but was abandoned in 1992 when it was damaged by a major fire. Joji Furukawa joins us live from the scene on Sherbrooke Street. Joji, what does this theatre look like today?
So the theatre today, the facade is crumbling. There's stones on the ground. There's plants growing out of the foundation. And there are barricades on the windows and doors. But you can still get a sense of the former grandeur of the theater with the relief sculptures featuring ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics. And it's just a beautiful structure overall.
What has been the reaction from the community?
So people in the area are saying they would like to see it serve the people in the area. I just spoke to Iris Sapure, and this is what she had to say about what she'd like to see the building become.
Since the 90s, so they should bring it back as a theater. I mean, that's what I've wanted them to do for years, but who knows?
The city says ultimately that it's up to the developers what happens to the building.
Will any of the original structure be saved?
The city was discussing possibly saving just the facade, but it's unclear at this point whether that will be possible or not. I get.
Thank you, Joji.
A Quebec petition calling for free contraceptives has gained more than 96,000 signatures. The petition was launched by a sexual health advocacy group. MNA Ruba Ghazal presented the petition yesterday in the National Assembly. Quebec Solidaire has been pushing for free birth control in the province since 2022. Ghazal says it would save the government money by reducing unplanned pregnancies. She says many Quebecers signed the petition in response to the U.S. election.
Montreal City Council has voted against a motion to declare a state of emergency on the unhoused situation. Desiree Zagbe has more.
Tom Forrest walks back and forth in the rain in downtown Montreal, throwing garbage into a bin. He is unhoused and he is doing everything he can to survive. He does not think the city of Montreal does enough to help people who are in this situation.
The money is not being put in the right in the area that it should be.
Mayor Valerie Plante says councillors agree the increased number of unhoused people is an urgent issue. But she says declaring a state of emergency will not help. Forrest believes the city must look at all aspects of the unhoused issue and find solutions.
Contacting social workers, other people with harm reduction, that work directly with harm reduction facilities and other outreach programs to see what they think their opinion is as to how the money should be spent.
Forrest says he's still optimistic about the future of unhoused people in Montreal. Organizations such as Welcome Home Mission have programs and resources to support unhoused people in the city. Sam Wass is the CEO and sits on the National Housing Council in Canada. He says Montreal City Council's decision will not have a big impact on the unhoused situation. He says in any city where they have declared a state of emergency for unhoused people, it has really not improved anything.
What we need to be doing is getting all of the players around the table, the various levels of government, the healthcare network, and the major organizations that face this day in, day out on the ground. And we need to come up with a plan for how we're going to proceed.
Watts says declaring a state of emergency will give a small committee more decision-making powers. But he says there still isn't a solid set of plans or money to fund what the city wants to do. He adds that the unhoused issue is solvable, and the focus should be on getting unhoused people off the street as quickly as possible. He says Welcome Hall is doing what it can, but it still has not been able to provide housing as fast as it wants.
In the last 2 years or so, 2+ years, we've housed 420 people. That sounds like a lot, and it is a lot. It's a lot of work. But having said that, it's not fast enough because the inflow into the experience of homelessness is greater than the outflow.
Watts says the target as an ecosystem is to rehouse around 1,000 people every year, and he aims to help 2,000. He also wants to focus on prevention measures, saying it's more effective to keep people off the street in the first place. Watts says they help at least one unhoused person every day. He says it costs less to provide housing than it does to pay for emergency services. He says it will be expensive to fund unhoused resources, but it will be more expensive if they do nothing. For CJCN, I'm Desiree Zagbe.
Hundreds of people gathered in downtown Montreal for the Make-A-Wish Foundation's annual Christmas tree event. It helps brings joy to kids fighting critical illnesses. Emma Aguello has more.
That was the sound of the annual Trees of Joy event. With dozens of Christmas trees waiting to be decorated, each tree is personalized with one child in mind, and it's theirs to keep for the holidays. The first Tree of Joy began in Toronto in 2016 with only 8 trees, and it has since grown and spread across Canada. Eliana Bucaro is a WISH coordinator who works with families one-on-one.
A Trees of Joy is a corporate sponsorship, so a company sponsors a symbolic value of a WISH, and that they get matched up with a family, and then they get to decorate the tree. All the children who get trees have already had their WISH, so they're able to speak about their experience.
The campaign focuses on providing families with more than just a gift. It's about creating a memorable and joyful experience during a time that can be incredibly difficult for many. She says it's all about storytelling and sharing feelings.
Really see like the outcome of like what something so positive can do to a child during their health journey. And it's a really great opportunity for our donors to see where their money is going. And this is a great opportunity to actually like meet a child who got a wish.
These experiences, both big and small, are what make the Trees of Joy event so memorable for everyone taking part.
So I met this one mom, and she was so wonderful throughout the whole process. And I introduced myself, and I said, "Hi." I said, "I'm Eliana." I said, "I'm the one who planned your son's wish." And she had like tears in her eyes. She couldn't believe it was me. I just want to make people feel special. They're like, it was just so emotional. Like,
there is still time to donate and make a difference. For information on how you can contribute, go to makeawish.ca. And if you're looking for a way to give back this holiday season, Make-A-Wish Rêve des Enfants is looking for volunteers to help wrap gifts from December 13th to the 23rd at Place Montreal Trust. Visit the website for details. Emma Ogiello, CJCN, Montreal.
Concordia is hosting a holiday-inspired farmers market today in partnership with Sun Youth. Cassidy Jacobs joins us live with more. Cassidy, what can you tell us about the market?
So I'm currently at the EV building downtown, and I can see lots of students lining up at tables looking for special things to buy. The market started at 10 this morning and will continue till about 4 this afternoon. I talked to Jordana Scarapiccia, who has a stand selling gluten-free baked goods.
Human Resources at Concordia University has been involved in supporting Sun Youth, an organization in Montreal that helps the youth, the homeless, and gives Christmas baskets this time of year for over 10 years. So today we're here to have a big sale and thrift sale, and all the money raised today will be going to help the organization during this time.
I also counted a total of maybe 12 vendors, and each has something different to offer. There's cards, jewelry, handmade soaps, and secondhand gifts. It looks like a really good turnout right now. The lobby here is full of students. I've spoken with Concordia student Yada Storti, who told me what she liked about the market.
Pretty nice. There's a lot of cool stuff, especially if you want to buy gifts for someone special or just for yourself, really. There's a lot of things. And I like the fact that most of these are like local businesses that are like by people who are doing handmade things. So that's pretty cool.
If you want to come to the market, there's still a chance as it's going on till 4 this afternoon. As well, there'll be an Indigenous holiday market taking place tomorrow at Concordia's downtown campus as well. Again?
Thank you, Cassidy.
Utah Hockey Clubs beat the Montreal Canadiens 3-2 in overtime last night at the Bell Centre, the second loss in a row for the Habs. This defeat was marked by the team's lowest shot rate in about 15 years. I'm here with Mathilde Cuz for more. Mathilde, what happened last night at the Bell Centre?
So the game happened last night, and the first goal was scored by Utah by Dylan Genter at the start of the second period. The Habs caught up 2 minutes after with a goal by Jaden Struble. Alex Newhook caught up 45 seconds after during the third period for the Habs again, but Utah caught up 4 minutes after with a goal by Jack McBain. Then during the overtime, Utah Mikhail Sergachev scored a late winner 4 minutes into the overtime.
And how come the Habs lost despite such a tight score?
It was a really messy game. There were like 3 penalties in the first period, and the Habs often played a man short. The first Utah goal happened because of the fourth penalty, which was early in the second period. The head coach, Martin Saint-Louis, claimed that the Habs lacked execution offensively. There was also an extremely low shot rate.
What does low shot rate mean?
It means that basically the Habs posted only 13 shots on goal, which is really low despite the 4 minutes and 30 seconds extra time. That is the club lowest shot rate since December 7, 2009. The average rate for the Habs is 23.62 shots per game this season. And the average number of shots on goal per team per game is around 31.5 this season, so it's low in every aspect.
What does this say about the Habs season so far?
I mean, we know the Habs have 7 wins, 11 losses. It's below average results. However, the team is supposed to be in a rebuilding phase, but mid-season, still not much improvement. So fans are wondering if the team is actually currently rebuilding. And yeah, pretty bad form currently.
Mathilde, what do you think is next for the Canadiens?
So right now, the Habs are last of the Eastern Atlantic standings, and they need to lock in to reach the playoffs. They're going to be playing the Columbus Blue Jackets at the Nationwide Arena tonight in Columbus. Soraya?
Thank you, Mathilde. Now here's your weather report. Today will be partly sunny with a high of 4 degrees. Tonight will be mostly cloudy with temperatures falling to 2 degrees. Tomorrow will see light rain with a high of 3 degrees. Friday will be partly cloudy with a high of 2 degrees. That's your news to 11:30. Thanks for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Soraya Yelraman-Athan.
And I'm Agathe Salza.